Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to get right into the message today and the message God gave me after all that drama waiting on him. Is faithful. Say faithful. Unlocking God's favor. Faithful. Unlocking God's favor. Amen. We've taken a word faithful and just spelled it this way to emphasize what faithful is. That when we talk about faithful and faithfulness, it simply means that which is full of faith. Faithful is that or who, or the person who is full of faith. That is, faith in God. And so when we say faithful, we think of people who do things consistently and do things well, just as many of us here today were faithful. We're faithful because we're full of faith. We trust God. We believe God, not just every now and then, not just when we feel good. We trust God all the time. We've learned, the song said, we've learned to put our hope in you and our trust in you. And so I want to use that spelling just to emphasize that faithful is full of faith. Say, I am. Faithful because I am full of faith. Amen. Now, the second part here of unlocking God's favor. Now, that's kind of a dramatic sounding title. But also it means something because you would think, well, Pastor, you know, when it pertains to God, why would he ever lock anything? Why is something locked? Why isn't always out there? Well, it is always out there, but not for everybody. Now, you know, sometime in our own minds, we reason about God and about his nature. You know, it's funny how, you know, people, you know, you might be an expert at, you know, automobiles and, you know, how they work. And as my dad was a technician for a long time, and, you know, and yet there are people who know, you know, about cars, and they won't try to talk to you about cars. They just say, you know what, I'm going to be quiet and listen to you because you know about cars. When it comes to God, everybody know about God. Everybody an expert about God, the Bible, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So you show up and you're a preacher or you're a servant of God. You've been serving God. You've been reading and studying, went to school. And people act like, you know, you don't know no more than I do. People act like, I know God. God is this. God is that. And so folk just talk. It's funny to me that we'll let the dentist tell us you got a cavity. Let the auto technician tell us you got a valve timing problem in your car. We'll let the accountant tell us you got some, you got issues with your, you know, with your money. But if the preachers show up or if the believers show up, folk like, oh, I already knew that. I know all that. I'm good. And that's the problem we have. That's why God has to lock things up. Now, listen, we'll come to this point. I say it now. God doesn't lock things up from you. He locks it up for you. We'll come back to that point, very important point. But while I'm on this issue about how we see God, how people see God today, let me show you something. Well, here's the point. I'll make it now. God's blessing and favor are not locked away from you. God's blessing and favor are locked away for you. Here's a scripture in Isaiah 45 and 3, New Living, says, And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. See, God's very personal with all this stuff. God is personal with people who are personal with him. And so we, you know, everybody serves some kind of God. And that's the thing. When you say God, What are you talking about? Because some people's God are the clothes they're wearing. Some people's God is the car they drive, you know, the house they live in, the person they're in relationship with, you know. Like folks say often say, people say, I got the spirit. Like, well, which spirit do you have? I want to ask, you know, because we throw the things of God all around the place. Well, here's a quote I want to read to you from a man named Dallas. I'm skipping ahead, John, a couple slides. A man named Dallas Willard, who was a man of God and a great theologian, a psychologist, really, by profession, and a Bible scholar. But he wrote this: there are two gods. Listen to this now. There are two gods. There is the God that people generally believe in, a God who has to serve them. This God does not exist. You know, the God that people think serving them, they ain't no God. That God don't exist, okay? But the God who people forget, the God whom we all have to serve, exists and is the prime cause of our existence and of all that we perceive. God being God offends human pride. When the light of God is absent, the intellect becomes dysfunctional, trying to devise a truth that will be compatible with the basic falsehood that man is God. See, that's what God does. When the real God shows up, he offends you on purpose. He wants to see, who am I dealing with here? You know, because, see, you think God's following you and does everything you want him to do, and then God says, no, not doing that. No, that's the wrong mindset. No, that's not consistent with my purpose. We're like, whoa, no, moi, me, you told me no? Nobody tells me no. My wife, my husband, kids, nobody can say no to me. And God just says no, and he says N-O. Now, I'm saying all that kind of in pun, but make the point that God being God offends human pride. And so that we really don't walk with God until we've humbled ourselves. You know, our prideful self is not consistent with walking with God. And you'll see why. That's why he locks things away. Let's go back up now. I got ahead. Let me go back now. Let's go to our scripture here in Matthew 13. Let's look at what Jesus said. Parables show why things were locked away from some, but not from others. All right? Matthew 13, verse 10, Jesus said, well, the text says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Right? So he spoke parables. Sower the, parable of the pearl and all the things he said. But why do you speak in parables? Good question. Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been granted. That's a straight up answer, isn't it? You ask the question, you got the answer. See, so when we say unlocking favor and unlocking blessing, it's not like it's not out there. It's just not for everybody. Not because everybody cannot have access to it, but that God, he has this problem. He thinks he's God. He really thinks he's God, okay? He is God. You know how it is. You know, as a older person, you encounter some younger people. If you don't show respect, I mean, put some respect on my name, we say. You know, put some respect on that, you know, because you don't respond to people who disrespect you. You don't have no time. I got no time for that. Just being a normal person with normal dignity. So how much more you think God required respect? So people want to, you know, on Monday act a fool. No, on Sunday be in church and Monday act a fool. And wonder why God's not really working the way they think he should work. Now, he's merciful. But let's be clear. It's not about works. I'm talking about just loving God, walking with God. So Jesus said, again, to the question, why do you speak to them in parables? He said, it's been granted to you to know the mystery. And it says, a mystery is something hidden to folk who are not serious and revealed to people who are. That's what a mystery is, a Bible mystery. It's actually not something that can't be known. It's just not available to people who aren't serious, who aren't earnest and sincere with God. But to them, it has not been granted. Now, my question is, are you among, when he says, to you it's been given, and to them it is not. Well, are you a you or are you a them? That's pretty bad grammar, but the point is, you are those who pay attention. You are those who care enough to stay around, to stick around. Because, see, Jesus spoke these parables and these little sermons, short sermons, and he would just stop, and folk would walk away. He said, that's all? That's all you got? They're gone. But then some would stay and say, Lord, explain to us what you meant by that. So it's to you it's given. See, to you who want to you who are inquiring minds, if you will, it's been given. All right. Then says, for whomever has, to him more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Sounds pretty cruel if you see it in a material sense. It's not a material text. Talk about attitudes, talking about faith, talking about your mindset. You know, when you have faith, when you have trust, when you have the willingness to follow God, when you have, more is given. I mean, more of whatever God's doing now, you get more of it. For those who don't have the faith, the willingness, the seriousness about God, what you have is taken away. So it's just a matter of drawing near or drawing or staying far away. Because listen, it's not that it's available, but it's just not available to everybody. So then we say this. Let's go to another scripture here. I'll come back to my main point here, making a couple of main points. Let's go to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now this gives us a basis of why God relates to us at all. Why does God even deal with us? He showed us this in way back with Israel. He said, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. See, I am a holy person to the Lord my God. Okay. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. Say, God chose me to be a people or a person for himself. That is, you didn't choose God, he chose you. Get that? You didn't choose God. People think I'm choosing God. Well, if you choose him today, you may unchoose him tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? If you're making all the choices where God's concerned, you may just drop that whole thing like people do. They drop in and drop out because they don't know. It's different when you know God has chosen you. You have a whole different mindset when you've been chosen. It says this, going on, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yeah, that's Israel. Our context is different, but it's the same situation. So then, God set his love on you. It ain't about you. I just chose God one day. No, no. God set his love on you. When you realize that, you look back and say, well, Lord, thank you. It's a whole different story when you know that you've been chosen by God. He says, and not because you were the most numbered, the biggest population. No, you're the least of all peoples. The Lord loves you because he would keep the oath he swore. He promised Abraham, remember that? What he would do, and he kept his promise all the way up to Moses. And so he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you. Now, you know some people didn't realize, didn't know what God did, because even after God set his love on them, chose them, and brought them out, they still acted a fool. Think about that. Right? So it's amazing. Now, of course, in that day, they weren't born again. No Holy Spirit indwelling them. That's the difference that Jesus made for us today. Because, see, we find out that even if God chooses somebody, if they don't respond to God and accept all he has for them, they don't become what he wants them to become. So it's not enough to say, well, I know God, I go to church, and all this kind of stuff. That's not enough. We need to respond to God from our hearts. All right, let's look at this next point now. So it goes on to say, Scripture says, chapter 7, verse 9, picking up here. Therefore know that the Lord, your God, he is God. Now, you think, why is that so important to know? I mean, it's obvious. No, it isn't always obvious now. Know means learn. Learn the Lord your God. He is God. Because you think, see, we, in our world, all kind of gods. Everybody got their own God. Their favorite God, their petite God, their, little. So, no, know the Lord your God. He is God. I almost brought in the clip, movie clip from Ten Commandments, the old one, the real one, Cecil D. DeMille's. But I thought if I played it, they would shut us down on YouTube, right? Copyright. But the scene, I love the scene. I got the whole 3-hour movie to watch one scene. That's the scene when Pharaoh, tries to chase Israel through the Red Sea, closes in on them, and his whole army is consumed and drowned. And this is all made up, this part of it. Yul Brynner. He come back to the palace with a sword and his wife sitting there on the throne. And he goes over to, he's going to kill her because, she's partial to Moses. And so she's like, before you kill me, show me his blood on your sword. He throw his sword down. It's all made up now. Ain't in the Bible. And then he sits on his throne beside her and sits and he says, his God is God. I love that scene. I watch it all the time. And the transitions to, Mount Sinai on fire. So it took Yul Brynner as Pharaoh, all that drama to find out that God, who God is. Some folk don't know yet. Some folk don't know who God is. Because you've got the idea that this God is following you. He's not following you. He's not doing what you want him to do. God, we follow God. And God being God offends human pride. And so, if you've not been offended by God, I would question if you know God. If God doesn't offend you in terms of just, he doesn't go along with something or corrects you on something. Amen, somebody. I mean, for our good. These are things indicate to us that, yes, I am following the living God, because here's a God I need to follow. I don't know what's up. I don't know what's going on without that real God guiding me. Amen, somebody? All right, let me go on. I'm getting bogged down here, but this is so important to make these initial points. All right, next slide here. Watch this now. God did not choose you because he saw so much potential in you. It's not what God chose you. I'm a singer. I can draw. I'm a businessman. I do business. I'm a businessman, you know. I got money. I know people. I got 5,000 friends on Facebook. God, like, I don't need none of that. He chose you because he could show his faithfulness through people who were far from preferred and perfect. Say it again. He chose you because he could show his faithfulness through people who were far from preferred and perfect. Get that in your heart. Because we sometimes think God chose us because of, you know, my stature in society, and my gifts and talents, my good looks, this kind of stuff. No, he did not. Mm-mm. God wants somebody he could show his faithfulness to. Because he's faithful. He's full of faith. So God needs people who are willing to yield to him. Because when God shows his faithfulness, it won't make sense to you sometime. It won't make sense to people around you. If we think that God wants us because of our abilities and gifts and looks and all that stuff, we are making a really bad mistake. God doesn't need us like that. God doesn't need partners. Did you know that, y'all? Now, I need partners. You need partners. God doesn't need partners. God doesn't need assistants. I mean, assistant with a T or assistants, you know. God doesn't need any kind of help. So he didn't choose you for that. Now, oh, really? Yeah, really. I don't mean to crush your hopes or anything, but if you're thinking that God chose you because of all this stuff you got, he don't care about that. He chose you for you. The thing about stuff is you don't always have stuff. Sometimes you don't have things. Sometimes, you know, your abilities and things come short. I mean, if God doesn't need us for that. God, he gave us things to use in life, but he himself only needs you because he can be faithful to you and through you. Because if God can be faithful through you and to you, he can do something with you. Far above what you can do. Far above what you can do in your skills and talents. If God can show himself faithful to you, he can do way more with you. Amen, somebody? This is why sometimes it's a problem when these celebrities get saved, and they get saved for real, but then they get brought right to the front of the line. You know what I'm saying? I mean, basketball player or artist or movie actor or something, and they bring them right to the front of the line, put them on the stage in front of all of us. Like God needs that. And what often happens is, sadly, they pushed forward too fast, too soon. You find out they don't have a character for that. They're not ready to be faithful to God yet. They're connected to their stardom. Not denigrate. I'm saying this. It's our mistake for putting people up in front of other people who aren't faithful, haven't learned that God wants to be faithful to you. He don't need nothing you got. That's pretty bad grammar, but, you know. Amen. Don't need nothing you got. I just said, I'm from 34th and Sherman Drive, y'all. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't need anything you have. I'm also a doctor of ministry, too. You know what I'm saying? You get the point, please. So, back to that scripture again. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations, that is forever, with those who love him and keep his commandments. So here we have a conditional promise from a God of unconditional love. A conditional promise from a God of unconditional love. Two conditions. Those who love him. Number two, those who keep his commandments. Now, again, you know, we're a preacher. I'm a preacher of grace. I don't believe in salvation by works. The Bible doesn't teach that. We don't believe that. But when we are born again, we know God, when we love God, faith without works is dead. It's just natural for us to follow God. If we know him, if we love him, that love leads us a certain way. So when it says those who love him and keep his commandments, that's just the fruit of people who are connected to God. Amen? So then the love is unconditional. God loves everybody all the time, every day, no matter what you do. But what he promises has conditions attached to it. Yeah. Because again, he is unlocking to folk that are serious, and he locks it from people who are not serious. So just be serious with God. Next point. So through God's faithfulness, he magnifies himself and confounds the wise of this world through you. Say, Lord, thank you. Because you are faithful, you magnify yourself and you confound the wise of this world. And you do it through me sometimes. Think about history. Think of people like Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth. People like Frederick Douglass, you know, others, you know, who are, you know, those are the famous ones. There are many more hidden figures out there. But people who were just nobody, essentially, but God raised them up. And they changed a generation. It changed a whole nation. You know what I'm saying? This is what God does. He marvels at that. All God needs is somebody who will let him be faithful to them. Reading the history of Harriet Tubman after watching the movie a couple years ago, one writer said that she would fall into a trance and that this person likened it to some sort of a epilepsy or something. Thought she had a condition. What it was, she was hearing from God. What she explained was God was speaking to her. And so when people saw her in that state, they couldn't understand what's wrong with her. That's why, you know, when God's speaking to you like that, just don't be singing, hey, be alone someplace. You're gonna look strange to people. I learned that. I learned. Sometime I was in Starbucks one time and got into something, and I was sitting there and drinking coffee, and I didn't do anything weird, but I don't know how I looked, but I know that I was real quiet, and my head was down like this, like, you know. But I said, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" You know what I'm saying? One time I nodded off a little bit. Person came back. "Hey, wake up, wake up. We don't allow people to sleep in here." I probably know that story, okay. That's the second time you did that. You know what I'm saying? Only me. So my point is, God confounds people. And he does it through you. Now, don't try to be weird. Don't try to be strange. But know that with you being God, being God, and you being faithful to God, it confounds people. People want to control you. They want to manipulate you, and they can't. They know they just can't do it with it. They know they can't. They try and try, and it never works. Like, I can't stand you. I'm just here working. You know, I ain't nothing to you. But that's what happens, that God wants people he can use to show himself. So sometimes you get the bad end of the bargain for nothing you did wrong. You just showed up being faithful to God and God being faithful to you. All right. 1 Corinthians 1. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. Wow. So, not many people who come to Christ, and Paul was one who came, but who were wise in the world's eyes, powerful and wealthy. Now, God uses some people like that. After they change. But he says, instead, God chose things the world considers foolish to shame those things that are wise. Now watch this. Verse 28. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. See what God is doing here? So, he, you know, it's just, man, it's amazing to me that God even, you know, that God chooses us when nobody else would. God picks you and says, I love you. I'm going to use you when nobody else would. For the very fact that you are willing to allow God to show himself faithful to you. That's the whole reason. That's the entire reason that God knew. So here's a bullet point. So God chooses people based on who will allow him to be faithful. God doesn't need partners because he does not need help. God chooses sons and daughters to reveal himself through. God, or people who think they have it all, don't think they need God. People who like to talk about God, but don't actually want to do what he says. See, we're in a strange state today, but it's a good place because it's a place where all you got to do is just let God be faithful to you. Yes, you have your skills, your talents, your abilities. Those are useful in the world. But where God's concerned, he may use it, he may not. It depends on, can he show himself faithful to you? We let him come in and have his way and shape your thinking and guide your choices. Are you willing to let him say to you no to this and yes to that? Are we willing? Because that's what God's after. He just wants to know, are you willing to let me help you? Amen? All right, Apostle Paul. Let's talk about Paul. Apostle Paul. Now, the man who wrote all these things we just read, what about him? What about Paul, the Apostle Paul? Well, look at Philippians 3. It's on the screen there. So now, here's what Paul wrote. Paul wrote, now here's the context. Paul was dealing with a lot of opposition. There were people who said, Paul, you ought not be an apostle. You're not qualified. They slandered Paul. A lot of, they tried to take the churches he had planted and replace them with other leaders. I mean, Paul faced some opposition. And he was accused of not being genuine. Watch this, though. Philippians 3 and 4. Watch this. Though also I might have confidence in the flesh. Because, see, Paul was addressing folk who were fully confident in themselves. Boastful, braggadocious people. Paul said, if anyone thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the Hebrew, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. So Paul's saying, now, if you want to brag about having, you know, pedigree in the world, being somebody, I was somebody, Paul said. I was somebody. And all that somebody, all that Paul being somebody did was get him into a place where he was actually, Paul, well, his name was Saul then, by the way. His name was Saul. And as Saul, he would persecute and have Christians jailed, have Christians killed. This man, Paul, was dangerous, y'all. Notorious. And a matter of fact, I mean, Paul, man, it was so rough. God had to rebrand him. When Paul got saved, God's like, hey, let's change your name here. That name Saul got too much attached to it. And God changed Saul's name to Paul. Now, but more than a physical change, see, the man was so changed from being such an evil, narcissist person. I mean, he was the exact person he's preaching against. Paul was the person he was teaching us not to be when he was Saul. You follow me? So then, I want to share this with you because, you know, God will rebrand you. God will reposition you. Your name might not change, but your mind will change. Your heart will change. Your name, hey, some folks change their names too. I don't know about that. I don't think it's necessary. The point, though, I want you to see that this is what God did. Because when God saw this man was so dangerous and God saved him and saw, he will let me be faithful to him, all right? I can use him now. Because Paul was a man of knowledge. He was a man that he could write, he could travel, he was bold. All the stuff God could use, but only after he humbled himself before God. Amen, somebody? Amen. All right. Watch this, Philippians 3:7. So Paul said, all right, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. All the stuff, my pedigree, my education, my status in Jewish community, all I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. That's a wild statement, y'all. Not many of us here would say that. Would be willing to go as far as he did. Well, some of us have, you know. I'll say that too. But the person hearing this message, I mean, not many are willing to give up the status. Give up, you know, not, let me say it this way. Paul didn't give it up like threw it away. I'm saying he brought it low. He brought it down. He put all that beneath his walk with Christ. You follow me? So when he was willing to take all his status and move it down so Jesus Christ could be on top, and then he could say, he could then show God, I'm ready to be used by you. That's all God wanted. So Paul didn't actually throw stuff away. He just counted it. He deemed it as loss. Same for us today. You know, we have accomplishments and things and thank God for it. We thank God for it. But yet we don't let any stuff, my 4 degrees, all that, none of that is more important to me than God looking at me and saying, I can still use you. All that you've gained hasn't prevented me from getting a hold to you, getting your attention when I need you. That's what I'm trying to say, y'all. I kind of stumbled through it, but that's what I'm trying to say. Does anything get in the way of God using you? Last slide, last point. Again, God did not choose you because he saw so much potential in you. He chose you because he could show his faithfulness through people, through you, who were far from preferred and perfect. And the last part of the text, we didn't read it, says, as a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. No flesh can glory, right? No one can boast. So then, there it is. Well, thank God. We are faithful because we've learned to allow ourselves to be accessible by God. You know how it is. I told you years ago I first got saved, and boy, I love me some music and some concerts and all that, and dating myself, but Graham Central Station came into town. It's like that's really old. Go Google that, young people. Anyway, that is so old. You got to Google it. Okay. On the same night as a church service, do I do the concert? Do I do church? I've been saved like 9-10 months. I did the concert, you know. I did concert. I got the concert, man. Stuff wasn't right. I just knew, man, I just should have, you know. So I learned a hard lesson, you know what I'm saying? But now, ever since then, I always choose God. And because I always choose God, he's taking me around the world, or halfway around the world, 6 times, you know what I'm saying? I've got so much joy and peace. I got so much stuff. I got to sell stuff now. I got to give stuff away. I got so much good stuff. You know what I'm saying? Beautiful wife and, you know, and got 4 children and 3 grandchildren. Praise God. Ivy over there across town, you know. All this because Because God chose me. And because of me. I tried me. Me was a problem, y'all. All the time, every day. But when I chose God and let him set his love on me and let him choose me, and then he found out that I would always respond to him. He could be faithful to me. I would let him be faithful. I would let him show his faithfulness. So when God knows he can trust you to show his glory, there's nothing he won't do. Everything is unlocked. Everything is open. Let's all stand. I'm going to stop right there. Father, thank you for this word today, for this encouragement today. Thank you, Lord, that you chose us. You set your love upon us, not because of we were the most, because we had the most, not because of our skills and talents, but because you loved us, because you would show your faithfulness through us.